This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
In the evening with Lynn, Kelvin, and Ayman. And today we are talking about one Ezra Zayed, currently head of digital and new media here at BFM. In his previous life, of course, the voice that you would have been hearing in lieu of mine. Yes. Just giving you the works. So that's relevant because it was also during that time on the Evening Edition when Ezra was in and out of court dealing with a certain case. You could always tell when he had a court date because he'd show up looking particularly well-dressed.
Thank you.
Yes. And so that voice that you're hearing is, of course, Ezra. Hello.
Firstly, thank you very much for having me on the show. And this is interesting.
This is a weird one, huh?
Yes.
So just to recap, since 2012, Ezra has been in a legal battle to challenge his arrest and prosecution by Jais over the Bahasa Malaysia version of Canadian writer Irshad Manji's Allah, Liberty and Love book, as well as a raid and seizure of 180 copies of the book.
So that case came to a close recently. The Court of Appeal on Wednesday quashed the Sharia charges filed against Ezra. The appellate court made an order granting him damages of 10,000 ringgit for mental distress, agony and torture suffered under the watch of Jais or the Selangor Islamic Religious Department. So this decision essentially puts an end to Ezra's trial in the Sharia courts.
Mental distress, agony, and torture.
That's right.
No one can ever say lawyers are boring or that legal language is dull.
No, not at all.
So, all right, now that we have you with us, are you ready to talk about your feelings to the whole nation? Because I just want to know, how are you feeling? I mean, was the outcome that we saw one that you expected, one that you saw coming?
I think, in all honesty, I think if you had asked me this question anytime in the immediate aftermath of 2012, I would have said yes, absolutely. You almost sort of play this out about how these kind of things could pan out, and obviously you want it to pan out in the positive, or you know, where you don't end up in jail. But I think over the past 7 years, there have been enough losses and wins to make you doubt and wonder as to whether any decision could go your way. So I think as to how I felt, I think I was paying close attention to the judge with every word she was saying to make sure that there was no caveat or this wasn't like some sort of punked moment, because it felt like that quite a number of times across 7 years. So very, very happy about how it turned out on Wednesday.
And tell us, I guess, what it was like in the courtroom.
It was pretty exciting because, I find it exciting because my parents, I think, wanted me to be a lawyer. Mm-hmm. And I think they got a different kind of deal with me being in court and experiencing the law in a completely more immersive way. And as a result, I think Wednesday's experience was particularly interesting because I've gone through different iterations of this in the Sharia court in Sungai Buloh. I've gone through this in High Court in Jalan Duta. I've gone through the Federal Court in Putrajaya. And so at the Court of Appeal, you're still seeing great legal minds, on regards to my great lawyers, and also folks who come from different parts of the government, Selangor government, federal government, the legal stream, the AGC. So just hearing all of this out is very, very exciting, but also very, very stressful, because you want the right arguments to be heard, you want the right interpretation of these arguments to be heard, and did work out in my favor on Wednesday, and I'm very, very grateful.
So maybe this is a bit of a weird question to ask you of all people, but and it's a little soon, I guess. But can you take us through the significance of this? Not just in like a personal Ezra Zayed kind of way, but just it's a big deal. Why is it a big deal?
So I think a long, long time ago, I probably would have had a much more packaged answer for this. I think May 29th, 2012. I remember getting a call, and it was from sort of the general manager of ZI at the time, and she said, "Hey, where are you? Are you anywhere nearby the office?" And my response to that was, "No, I'm not, but I can come in." "Yeah, maybe you should come in because Jais is here at the office, and I think they want to arrest you." So from that point on, and every step since then, it's sort of taken all sorts of different permutations. A bookstore seller has been arrested since then. Other people in similar circumstances in relation to publications have been arrested as well. So in 7 years is a long period of time. And so I think with what has transpired recently, I think the biggest feeling is that you can, I think, pursue justice in this country. And with a great amount of support, a great amount of luck, a great amount of perseverance, justice does come good in some respect. And I think it's important because I think sometimes we feel in this country, especially for many folks across the country, there's a hopelessness. And I didn't want to fall into that trap too early in my life. So I think I think I was probably in my late 20s when I started this case. I had different sets of lawyers come in and out of this thing, and the only constant is me and these books. So to come out on the other side of it is really, really great. But also you start feeling pretty thankful that it turned out that way, because there are many, many other cases and other Malaysians who didn't have this turn out in the positive, and I'm very, very conscious of that.
So 7 years going in and out of the courts, it's a very long process. Mm. How many lawyers have seen you through this entire process?
Too many. I think maybe just under like a dozen lawyers or so, because many of them were obviously working pro bono because this is a public interest case. Mm-hmm. And being a public interest case, people are giving their time and their energy. And, you know, one of my lawyers, Kay Shanmuga, when he started this case representing me, I think he took a 2-year sabbatical from the field to study law overseas. He came back and he still continued to represent me in this case. So it shows sort of, I guess, the length of time. But, you know, you've got help and assistance from all sorts of folks. And especially, I do have to mention that my dad, who was a decent lawyer himself back in the day, gave me a lot of, I think legal advice, but I guess just even advice to figure out how to navigate these pressures that not happen just in the legal sphere, but in the social political sphere of Malaysia. Because as much of this thing was about a book, the book is just the representation of a lot of the issues that we experience in Malaysia. And so that was what he was very, very helpful with.
I'm curious about Irshad Manji. Has there been any communication or any sort of support from her over the years of this case happening?
I wouldn't say support. I mean, we haven't sort of been in touch since we had a book launch here in Kuala Lumpur many, many years ago.
I remember interviewing her for that.
Yes. Mm. And so I think we had sort of very direct and candid conversations about sometimes the consequences of doing the things that we do and the decisions that we make. And I think she was very fair in those conversations. But I think she is also very shrewd and aware that, you know, someone like myself I'm responsible for my own decisions. And I think she's aware of that. And I think she encounters many, many people like me around the world who try and maybe make a tiny, tiny little difference in that particular area. And I'm sure she has been helpful in her own way that I'm not aware of.
So one of the things that I think is interesting, especially speaking as somebody who knows you on a personal basis,
sure,
right, is that this, like you pointed out, has come to represent a number of different things to a number of different people. What's that been like for you, I suppose, in terms of getting feedback, talking to people, hearing both criticisms and support, and how has that evolved over the last 7 years? Because I think when it was hitting headlines, I'm sure there was a certain volume.
Sure.
And then as things progressed, like we said, it's been a long process. So what's that been like?
I think what's been really fascinating is that from close friends and family, the response I get, of course, since Wednesday is, you were still fighting that? And I think that's very interesting because when everything is loud and apparent, I think you get a lot of support. But I think there's obviously a sense of isolation solitary vibe that you have to pursue in trying to sort of get to the point that you want to get. A long, long time ago, I thought this was just about getting a book unbanned. And then it sort of morphed into things about like how does Sharia law and civil law reconcile itself in Malaysia? And then it sort of evolved into the conversation about you know, what is it like being a Malay Muslim in Malaysia with regards to our constitution as well. And so it sort of evolved into these different conversations. I think the most interesting conversations that I've had is actually with, apart from friends, obviously my family members, you know. So I live here in KL, and of course I've got family from Perak, I've got family in Kelantan, and you can't shy away from these kind of conversations because these headlines reach every corner,
everywhere,
right? So it reaches the LA Times and it reaches New York Times, but it also reaches Utusan and Cosmo and the Sun Daily, right? So when you're having these conversations, I think that's where it becomes really, really interesting because throughout all of the noise, you can cut through a signal about what makes sense to people and what doesn't make sense to people. And I think what really makes sense to folks is a sense of injustice and whether people wear the jacket of Islam or otherwise. I think people can sniff out what's authentic and what's real and what's malicious and what's not. And I think that's been refreshing, at least for me, just to remind myself as to why 7 years have gone by and I didn't sort of tap out.
So it's been a long battle. So what happens next after this?
What happens next is I go back to court, this time at the Sharia court, and obviously we'd like to inform the court about the decision at the Court of Appeal. And, you know, it is with good understanding and hope that they would be able to respect the decision that's been made by the civil courts and to, of course, withdraw the charges that have been placed against me.
Happy?
Yes, except that you don't want to, what is it, like count your
chickens before they hatch.
Yeah. And I think usually I'm thrilled. I'm really ecstatic. Somebody asked me, you know, Ezra, you won. And I think that hasn't really sort of sunk in the way it is. So I think even you guys asking me to speak about it today, it's pretty interesting and pretty difficult because this has somewhat defined a part of my life more than I actually sort of envisioned. And as a result, I'm conscious about how it's affected myself, my family. And, you know, I think about folks like Kasim Ahmad, who he was a writer and author who felt this type of prosecution from the religious authorities as well. I think about Nick Reinow, the Borders bookseller. She went through a particular instance. So this is, whilst this case is very much about the book and very much about me, I'm aware of the tentacles that this has hit different Malaysians in different ways. I've gone for 7 years consecutively. I'm familiar about how many Malay Muslims go through the experiences of Sharia court. I understand their stories, I understand their experiences, and whilst maybe justice has been served in my case, there's a lot more to be found wanting in some of these spaces that I've encountered in the past 7 years, and I would like to see more of that change for the positive.
So we have Ezra Zayed in the studios with us today talking about the recent appellate court ruling in his case. We're going to be getting more details from K. Shanmuga, who is part of Ezra's legal team. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9. It is 7:19 on the Evening Edition. You're with Lynn, Kelvin and Ayman. Also, of course, Ezra Zayed's still sort of hanging around in the studios because, well, we've been talking about you, to
right,
be fair.
Right.
Yes.
Thanks for inviting me to the conversation.
So, I mean, we've been talking to you really about it on a more personal level, but there's also a whole legal perspective to be considered. And earlier today, I actually spoke to lawyer K. Shanmuga, who is part of Ezra's legal team, to get his perspective and to take a closer look at what led to this Wednesday's victory. Now, we're going to be playing our chat with him, beginning with his explanation of the judgment that was made by the courts.
Okay, so Ezra, as well as the company, ZI Publications and Dirham Berhad, jointly applied to quash actions taken by JAIS, Jawatan Agama Islam Selangor, involving the actions of both their enforcement team and their prosecution team. So essentially, the judges quashed everything that was done to Ezra. So his arrest, the requirement for him to give a bail and to attend court, and also the decision to prosecute him was quashed. And quashed basically means the decision has been cancelled and declared void. And the court also allowed damages, Ezra's claim for damages, the court did not grant ZI Publications in November had any relief. And from the proceedings in the Court of Appeal, I think this is because the court didn't want to interfere with the criminal investigation process, because the actions taken against ZI Publications were part of the investigative process. It's up to ZI Publications to decide what it wants to do next. But yeah, I find it a little odd that ZI was not given relief.
And what was the relief in this case?
A return of the books that were seized from them, and some sort of compensation to them as well, because as a company, they should not have been subjected to actions by the Sharia authorities.
And was that then one of the reasons given by the Court of Appeal as part of their decision to quash the actions that were taken against Ezra?
Well, that was one of the main planks of our argument, but the judges didn't give reasons for their decision. So we're not certain exactly which of our arguments found favor with them. There were two main arguments. One, because it's a company, the director ought not to be prosecuted. Two, people in Ezra's position had no way of knowing that this particular book was considered by the Islamic authorities as objectionable. And therefore, it was unfair and contrary to justice to charge somebody when nobody could have known before the raid that those books were objected to.
So does this ruling then effectively nip the entire case in the bud? What are the chances of the decision potentially being reversed?
There is an opportunity to appeal to the federal court. The other side have to apply for leave to appeal. And of course, ZI Publications in Niram Berhad also has recourse to the federal court if it chooses. You'll have to ask Ezra what he intends to do about that. And he may say he's discussing it with us, so I don't really know. It's still early days. But certainly the Sharia authorities can appeal to the federal court.
And can you help us understand why this particular case was drawn out over the last 7 years? Or is that kind of typical for most cases?
It's not. This case was unusual. So in 2012, in May 2012 or June 2012, when Ezra first came to see our team, Nizam Bashe, Fariazat, myself, there were two problems. One was the book had been banned by the federal minister, as well as the Jais actions against Ezra and the company. So the company took the federal minister, the Minister for Home Affairs, to court over the banning of the book by the Home Minister under the Printing Presses and Publications Act. That one we succeeded some years ago, led by Malik Imtiaz, and the Court of Appeal and the Federal Court dismissed the government's appeals against that decision. Then the Jais action, what had happened was we had, at some point in the case, Ezra and ZI had went directly to the federal court to get a ruling on whether or not the Selangor Dun, Dewan Undangan Negeri Selangor, had power to make laws that restricted freedom of speech. So that case went to the federal court and was decided by the federal court against Ezra in a way by saying, yes, the State Legislative Assembly had power to enact legislation of this sort because they had power to restrict the propagation of religious beliefs among Muslims. So the case then came back to the High Court for the High Court to decide. So the first round, the earlier High Court judge dismissed Ezra's case completely. On a technical point, we went to the Court of Appeal, and the Court of Appeal, led by our current Chief Justice, remitted the case back to the High Court to be decided on its merits. So then the hearing in the High Court proceeded. The High Court ruled against Ezra, and we finally come to the Court of Appeal last month. A few months ago, that was postponed for some reason, and then we got a hearing on Wednesday.
And could this ruling help or have any impact on cases that are up against Jais?
Yeah, in a sense that I think the Court of Appeal is saying to Jais, please look at the law and please remember that you are confined in your actions by the law. And so the rule of law, in a way, is being affirmed. And they're telling Jais, look, know that you have some limits. So in that sense, if people feel that Jayus has exceeded the limits of the law, they can take action.
So as this all draws to a close then, hopefully anyway, do you have any takeaways from the case that you'd like to share?
Well, I suppose I'm in awe of my client's tenacity. He has withstood 7 years of legal challenge and of this nature where he's had to go to the Sharia court so many times, and he's in a way been vindicated by this decision, albeit there may be one last battle facing him. The other takeaway, I think, is I'm heartened that the Court of Appeal essentially complied and followed the rule of the law, which was set out by another Court of Appeal decision some years ago in the Borders case, the Vijaya Books case. So in that sense, it's a very positive decision for those of us who are fighting public interest cases where we're hoping that the government, you know, just complies with the law.
That was Kay Shanmuga, one of the lawyers representing Ezra in his case. I actually spoke to him earlier today. Ezra, how do you feel hearing that?
Yeah, it's you know, it's great that Shan was there to explain all the legalities of it, because I think for a short second, some many, many years ago, I felt pretty chuffed that I could actually explain it. I could think across 7 years and sort of the trails that we've gone through in terms of trying to make sense of it. I've kind of lost the ability to articulate it well, so I'm very happy that you didn't ask me about these. I know I've got a few minutes to go because I've done the show before. But I just wanted to sort of particularly share that one of the things that I've learned in terms of takeaways when I was hearing Shan was even just my appreciation about how the rule of law works in this country. And I am conscious about how people view and experience this particular topic. But I can tell you that after going through 7 years of this process, that there's every reason why this particular structure works. And with that, I just wanted to sort of give a quick shout out to a lot of the folks who helped me, and particularly my dad, also my members of family, but some of the lawyers I've mentioned. We heard from Shan, there's Fariazad, of course, and there's Nizam Bashir, who's been very much not just a guest of the Evening Edition, but you know, somebody who's helped navigate so many sort of difficult moments. Also my Sharia lawyer, Zulkifli Chetyong, and Mali Imtiaz, and Bon. And there's a whole bunch of folks who've been really, really kind and generous with their time and effort. And so this is not a win for me, per se. This is a huge collective effort that I'm sort of very, very lucky to be a part of in a small way.
On that note, Ezra, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me on the show.
So we've been speaking to Ezra about his court case, really, and the culmination of it, hopefully. You've been listening to The Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.